This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We have been focusing over the past 2 months on the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. And the month before that, we looked at the three quls. Today, inshallah, what we are going to do is we are going to briefly recap the most important points of each of these four surahs for those who either missed it or might have forgotten, because a reminder is beneficial for the believers. So let's begin with the surah that we had just completed last week, and that is the opening chapter of the Quran, Suratul Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha, which we had mentioned, is the one surah which we have been commanded to repeat in every rak'ah of our salah, about which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La salata illa bi fatihatil kitab. There is no salah without Surah Fatiha. And it is that surah about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed that He replies to every single line. That when you stand before Allah and you say with sincerity and understanding, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise to Allah, the Lord of the universe. When you say that with full iman and with understanding, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies, Hamidani Abdi, my slave has praised me. And likewise with every line of Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. Until when we say, Iyaka na'abudu wa Iyaka nasta'in, you alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. Allah responds and says, this is between me and my slave. And my slave will have whatever he asks for. At that point we pray and we ask Allah for the most important thing in the universe. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. And Allah says that we will have what we ask for. We will have guidance. Again, I must emphasize the point that this conversation and this impact of Surah Fatiha can only be felt if we pray and recite our Surah Al-Fatiha with understanding, with sincerity, with conviction. This is how it needs to be done. The idea of reciting Surah Fatiha at super speed, without knowing what we are saying, just to get the salah over with, that is not a quality of a true believer. We need to slow down. Take our time. Salah is not a ritual. Salah is not something we're trying to get over and done with. Salah is the time of the day where we get to bond with our Creator. It is the time of the day where we get to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this can only be done if we take our time and pray with understanding, sincerity, and conviction. And so Surah Al-Fatiha, we had mentioned, covers two main themes. The first four verses describe to us who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and what should be our relationship with Him. And the last three verses describe to us the importance of guidance, and it gives us the dua for guidance, and it teaches us that this is the most important thing in our life. The guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more important than even food and drink. Because we need to eat or drink 3 or 4 times a day. We need to eat 2 or 3 times a day. We need to drink a few times a day. But we need guidance at every moment of the day, of every moment of our lives. Because the minute we go astray, we can fall into major sins. We ask Allah to guide us and protect us. So the first four verses of Surah Al-Fatiha, as we had mentioned, describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. The first verse focuses on Allah's rububiyyah, Allah being the Rabb, the Lord, the Creator, the Sustainer, and the Maintainer of the universe. And we need to have full conviction in this. And we said full conviction in this means that we do not believe in good luck and bad luck. Rather, we believe, وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. They're good and bad. All of it is destined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of it has been decided and decreed by Allah. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing in this world happens by luck. There is no lucky number. There is no unlucky number. There are no good luck charms. There are no bad luck signs. Everything is in the hands of the Creator of the universe. This is a belief that every Muslim should cement in our hearts. When things go wrong, we don't look everywhere else for an answer, but we know it's from Allah. And we say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. To Allah we belong and to Him we return if we have lost something. If we haven't lost something, we say Alhamdulillah. Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn al-Khattab, the second Khalif of Islam, may Allah be pleased with him, used to say that when things go wrong, he would say Alhamdulillah, because it could have been worse, and it didn't affect his iman. So, this is the attitude of the believer, that we do not believe in luck. We do not believe in lucky charms. We believe in Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator and maintainer of the universe, controls everything. Every leaf that falls, not a single leaf falls except that Allah knows it. There is nothing at all that happens. Think about even the smallest thing. There is not a tiny black ant on a black rock in a dark night except that Allah knows about it, and it is within the control and power of Allah. And so when things go wrong, we turn to Allah and Allah alone. Surah Fatiha also teaches us about Allah's mercy, because Allah's mercy is one of His main attributes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said that His mercy will supersede His anger. And we see that in the world today. Despite the fact that the majority of humans are living lives which are displeasing to Allah, Allah's mercy is still evident in their lives. Allah's mercy is evident in the lives of all of us, that we sin every day, but Allah still guides us. Allah is still willing to forgive us if we ask for forgiveness. Allah is still willing to let us enter His Jannah if we obey Him and if we repent for our mistakes. This is all part of Allah's mercy. Surah Al-Fatiha also teaches us that Allah is the master and king of the Day of Judgment. Meaning that yes, in this world Allah is the Rabb, He owns everything, but also in the next world. And on the Day of Judgment, we all will stand before Allah. Not as a group, but as individuals. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. On that day, mankind and humans, every human will run away from Akhi, his brother, and his mother and his father, and his wife and his children. Everyone will be concerned about themselves. Each of us will stand as individuals on the Day of Judgment and answer to Allah. And on that day, the excuse of what will the people say will be insignificant. It will be seen like a flimsy excuse and will not be accepted. We need to live our lives for Allah. We need to keep this in mind every day in every rak'ah when we recite Surah Fatiha, when we recite the verse Maliki Yawmiddin, we should picture that day. And it should affect our hearts and make us realize that if Allah is the only one who will be answerable on the most important day of our lives, then why do we worry about what other people say? Why do we disobey Allah to please people? This is something that we should think very carefully about. And finally, Surah Fatiha teaches us about the relationship that we should have with our Creator, which is one of worship for Him alone and asking of Him alone. What is meant to ask Allah alone? It means anything which is beyond human capabilities, you ask it of Allah. There's nothing wrong with asking your friend for a pen, asking someone to give you a lift to the masjid, asking someone to lend you some money. These are things within human capabilities. But things which are beyond human capabilities, that should be asked of Allah and Allah alone. إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we ask for help. We say that every day, but do we do it? And finally, Surah Al-Fatiha is a dua for guidance. And that guidance has conditions. As I mentioned, we need to pray this dua with understanding. and with sincerity and conviction. But we also need to follow the guidance which Allah has revealed to us. Because on the very next page of the Quran, the very second verse, Allah gives us the answer. And He says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the book in which there is no doubt. It is a guidance for the believers. Are we following the guidance of the Quran and Sunnah? That is something we should all think about. So that is a quick recap of Surah Al-Fatiha. As you know, we spent 2 months on this topic. Every week looking at a different verse. In fact, we spent 3 weeks on Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in alone. So what we've done now is just a very, very brief recap of the major points of the surah. The main points to take home. The points that can change our lives. Every time we pray Salah, we should feel some change in our hearts. We should feel our iman increasing. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers in the Quran. And I mentioned this at the very beginning of our program, all the way back in Ramadan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the very beginning of Surah Al-Anfal, He says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. That the believers are those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble. But related to the Quran, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. When the verses of Allah are recited to them, it increases their iman. This is the sign of the believer. Does our iman increase when the verses of the Quran are recited in Salah? When we recite it ourselves in Salah? If not, we need to change our approach towards the Quran. We need to make Salah real. Not a ritual, but something real. We need to make our Salah something which we feel, something which affects our lives, something which changes our behavior, something which strengthens our relationship with our Creator. Because this is why Allah has ordained for us 5 daily Salah. Not as a ritual. Not as something that you get over with. Not as something that you leave for qadha to do later. No, it's something which is there to stay in contact with Allah. And that can only be done when we pray our salah with understanding and concentration. So Surah Al-Fatiha. I spoke a lot about the importance of salah when discussing Surah Al-Fatiha, because the two go hand in hand. In the hadith Qudsi we mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Surah Fatiha the Salah. He says, I have divided the Salah between me and my servant in 2 parts. And the commentators say, Salah over here means Surah Al-Fatiha. So they go hand in hand. There is no Salah without Surah Al-Fatiha. So this is a brief summary of Surah Al-Fatiha. The other surahs which we have done tafsir of over the past few months are the last 3 surahs of the Quran. Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq, and Surah An-Nas. Let's look back and do a recap of what Surah Al-Ikhlas is about for those who either missed it, or for the rest of us, a reminder. Surah Al-Ikhlas is similar in its theme to the first 4 verses of Surah Fatiha, in that it is a description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Surah Al-Ikhlas contains not the detailed description, but the principles of knowing who is Allah, the principles that we use to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The very first principle of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is found in the first verse of Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say that Allah is Ahad, He is the one and only, uniquely one. Ahad, from the same root word as Tawheed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. And the first principle of knowing who is Allah is Tawheed. And this is where the majority of humans fall short. Yes, majority of humanity believes in one God. They believe in one Creator. But some religions worship others along with Him. Some religions worship others as His sons. Some religions worship others as manifestations of God. This is not Tawheed. This is not accepting the Creator as the only God in your life. Tawheed is when we go back to what we mentioned about Surah Al-Fatiha, when you accept that nothing happens except by the will of Allah. When anything goes wrong, you go back to Allah. Where Allah becomes the center of our lives. That is Tawheed. Where our lives center around Allah and what He wants. When things go wrong, we know it is a test from Allah. When things go right, we know it is a test from Allah as well. Whatever happens in our life, it is from Allah. This is Tawheed, where Allah becomes the center of our lives. And I repeat this because this is missing for many of us. For many of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remains something that we speak about in the masjids. No, Allah is the center of our lives. How do we do our business? In a way that pleases Allah. How do we behave at home? In a way that pleases Allah. How do we behave at school? In a way that pleases Allah. This is how a believer should live his or her life. So the very first principle mentioned in Surah Al-Ikhlas is one of Tawheed. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say that Allah, He is Allah, the one and only, the uniquely one. Allahu Samad, the one upon whom all things depend. Again, this principle goes back to what we are talking about, that Allah should be the center of our lives. Everyone and everything depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not in need of anything. Allah does not need our worship. We need to worship Him. He does not need our worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this very clear when He said, I have not created jinn or humans except to worship Me. And I do not need you all to provide for me or to give me food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in the same verse, that I do not need anything from you. So then why do we have to worship Allah if Allah does not need anything from us? It's because we need Allah. We need Allah. People who don't have Allah in their lives, they feel that emptiness inside them. They feel that pain inside them. And some of them, we'll find many stories where people, because they do not have Allah in their lives, it led them down very dangerous paths. We'll continue talking about this topic after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This week we are looking at a recap of the surahs we have covered in the last 3 or 4 months. And we are looking now at Surah Al-Ikhlas, talking about who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is one and only, the one upon whom all of humanity depends. We are talking about what happens when we remove Allah from our lives. And we just need to look at international statistics and we'll find that those nations where people are connected to Allah have a lower suicide rate, even if they are poorer. They have a lower rate of crime. They have a lower rate of murder. Why? Because when you have Allah in your life, this brings about that internal peace. I recall a story which happened a few years ago where someone from the USA had visited Palestine and was shocked to find that the Muslims of Palestine were happier than the rich people living in the USA. And he couldn't understand why. But after he studied Islam, he understood why. Because they had Allah. And when one has Allah in your life, and one understands Qadr, and understands the good and bad is from Allah, and that life is a test, one has the ability to smile and be happy in any situation. While if one doesn't have Allah, you can have all the money in the world. You can have all the good things in this world, but you'll still be unhappy. Because you're not fulfilling your purpose of your existence. For those of us who spend our time chasing after that which does not bring us closer to Allah, understand that even when you do get it, it will not bring happiness and contentment and peace to your life. If you do not believe me, ask those who have been down that path. Ask the celebrities who have converted to Islam. Singers like Napoleon and Loon and Cat Stevens, all of whom converted to Islam for the same reason. They said they found no peace living that lifestyle. They found no happiness living that lifestyle. there are so many people out there who have already been down that path. So I would encourage those of us who have this inclination, who have this belief that we will find happiness and peace in money and in this world, to learn about the lives of these people, get hold of their interviews, and learn why did these celebrities, people who had everything in this world, why did they convert to Islam and leave it behind? And then, inshallah, that will help us to appreciate our religion more. That relationship with Allah is the one thing which keeps our lives peaceful no matter what is going on. No matter what difficulty we are in, we feel that Allah is on our side. So that's what Surah Ikhlas is about. It's about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is He? And when you know who Allah is, you connect with Him. So Ikhlas also tells us about Allah that He does not have any parents or children, refuting the belief of many other religions that God had a son or God had a mother. You know, this sort of belief is blasphemous for a human being, because there is only one God who created all of humanity, and He does not have any parents or descendants. This is the belief of all the prophets who came before, including Jesus, peace be upon Him. So this is what Surah Ikhlas teaches us. And finally, Surah Ikhlas gives us one of the main principles governing the names and attributes of Allah, and that is وَلَمْ يَقُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. There is nothing like Him. There is nothing like Allah. You cannot imagine Allah. You cannot put a picture to Allah. You cannot ask how and why of Allah's attributes. How does Allah do this? How does Allah look? These type of questions are not permissible, because Allah is beyond human imagination, because there is nothing like Him. In Jannah, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. On that day, faces will be happy looking at their Lord, as mentioned in Surah Al-Qiyamah. But in this world, no. In this world, we do not know. And that is something that we accept as being beyond human abilities to understand and to see. So we have two more surahs to recap for today. The first being Surah Al-Falaq. And we had mentioned this a few months ago, that Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas together form Al-Mu'awwadhatain, the two protection surahs. Surah Al-Falaq is for protection from what? Min sharri ma khalaq. From the evil which Allah had created. From the evil of the night. From the evil of magic. And from the evil of jealousy. In other words, worldly evil. It is for protection from all kinds of worldly evil. Surah An-Nas is for protection from قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. From the whispering. From the whispering of the evil devil. That is protection from the spiritual forces. From that which leads us to the hellfire. So between these two surahs, we have protection from everything which can harm us in dunya or akhirah. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not just want us to focus only on the akhirah and to forget about the dunya. No, He wants best for us in both. That's why the dua taught to us in the Quran is رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. O our Lord, grant us the best of this world, فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا, and the best of the next world, and protect us from the hellfire. We ask Allah for the best of both worlds. And so we find this with Surah Falaq in Surah Nas. Surah Falaq is for protection from the evils of this world, and Surah An-Nas is for the protection from the evils of the next world, the evils of Shaitan, because it is the evils of Shaitan that lead us to the hellfire. So Surah Al-Falaq in Surah An-Nas, we had mentioned also the story behind the revelation as found in Sahih Al-Bukhari, that a Jew from Medina had cast some sihr on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these two surahs as protection for magic initially. So that's one of the primary reasons for the surahs, as protection from magic. We spoke about the reality of magic, that there's two types of magic. There is the illusions and the tricks, right? That's not called magic in Islam. That's just illusion and trickery, right? Whether that's halal or haram, that's open to debate. But sihr, real magic, black magic, magic which involves the jinn, which involves actual power from the jinn, this is something which is real, and it is something which is kufr. It is something which takes a person out of the fold of Islam, as mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. And this is something we need to be aware of. We need to stay away from these types of things. Now, I notice in our community we have two extremes on this issue of magic. There are those of us who deny its existence, right? I have met many people who deny the existence of magic. But the Quran and Sunnah are very clear that magic does exist. It is something real. And the history of this world is proof enough. Everywhere you go in the world, every community you interact with, there is some history of magic. Right here in South Africa, I mean, you just need to interact with the different communities and study the histories. You will find that there has always been issues of magic in every community. This isn't something, this is something which history confirms. This is something which history confirms. So for those who deny the existence of real magic, you are denying something which is historically being recorded in almost every civilization and community in the world. And you're also denying something which is clearly stated in the Quran and the Sunnah as being real. If magic was not real, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have revealed the verse min sharri an-naffathati fil 'uqad, from the evil of the magicians when they blow. Right, this is proof enough. Surah Al-Falaq is proof enough and the story behind it. So that is in refutation of those who deny the existence of this evil. Number two, there are those who do not realize just how evil it is. That this is something which even learning it or asking someone else to do it on your behalf is kufr. It can take a person out of the fold of Islam. It is a very, very dangerous path to tread. In fact, in the early days of Islam, if you looked at the Sharia and the court laws established, the laws of a Sharia court for someone who was convicted of doing actual sihr was execution. They were executed. That's how severe this crime is. So it's not something that we should take lightly. This is something major. And just as major as sihr is what's mentioned in the final verse of Surah Al-Falaq, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ, from the evil of jealousy and envy. This is a major, major issue of our times. Jealousy and envy. And we see it in every walk of life. People are jealous of other people's spouses. People are jealous of other people's children. People are jealous of other people's wealth. Jealous of other people's cars. Jealous of other people's houses. Jealous of other people's success. Jealous of other people's fame. Jealousy is rampant. And the thing with jealousy is that it destroys the one who is jealous even more than the others. Yes, it harms the others. That's why we make this dua and we seek protection from jealousy. Yes, it is harmful to the next person in a major way. But when you are jealous of someone else, it harms you even more. It eats away at your soul. It eats away at one's goodness. It eats away at one's ability to be good to others. It makes one petty. It makes one dangerous to society. People in a state of jealousy have done crazy things to others. As Muslims, we should not allow this to enter our hearts, because we go back to what we spoke about in the other surahs, قَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Good and bad is all destined by Allah. Good and bad is all destined by Allah. If something good happened to somebody else, Allah has decided that. So when you are angry or jealous of that, then you are challenging Allah. You are questioning Allah's decision. And this is a major, major problem. So, this is jealousy. How do we get rid of it? Number one is to accept Allah's Qadr. Whatever happens is from Allah. Qadr Allah. We accept that. If you accept that, then Alhamdulillah, this will make a big difference in our lives. Number two is contentment. Whatever Allah has given me is good for me. And if there's something which is beyond my abilities to get hold of, then this is probably not good for me or not good for me yet. And if it was, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would grant it to me. Number 3, to get rid of jealousy. We have a narration found in An-Nawawi's Fatih Hadith, where a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him, he said, "Oh Rasulullah, teach me a good deed. If I do it, Allah will love me and people will love me." It's an interesting question. Teach me a good deed that if I do it, Allah will love me and people will love me. Because we know many a time we face with a choice to choose between what Allah wants and what the people wants. So this sahabi is asking, what can I do that Allah and the people both will love me? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, stay away from attaching your heart to this world and Allah will love you. And stay away from what people have and the people will love you. Meaning, do not chase after this world. Especially do not chase after things which other people have. Because if you do this, if you stay away from all of these things, then not only will Allah love you, but people will love you as well. People will want to be with you because they know that you are not jealous of them. They know that you are not petty. They know that you are not after them. You are not chasing after what they have. People will trust you. And that will earn us the love of the people. Number 4, another hadith found in An-Nawawi's 40 hadith, from the perfection of one's iman is to leave that which does not concern you. This is another hadith found in Nawawi's 40 hadith. The 40 hadith of which our religion is founded upon. From the perfection of iman, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, from the perfection of iman is to leave that which does not concern you. A very, very powerful hadith. If we follow this, then we will not find things to be jealous of. If you do not pry into other people's business, somebody else got a new car, it's not my business. Somebody else bought a bigger house, it's not my business. Somebody else is having more children, it's not my business. I don't need to pry into it and ask why, and why he got a better car and I don't, why he's got a better house, I don't know. It's not my business. My business is my life pleasing to Allah? What I have, is it halal? We need to think about ourselves and what does Allah think, not worry about things which are not our business. We are concerned about the rest of humanity and about everybody else from the perspective that we want good for everyone. But we do not go into other people's business in a way that we interfere in things which are not related to the deen, in that we want what they have and we get jealous of it. So if we mind our own business in that way, and we do not worry about what car this person is driving, what car that person is driving, why he has a better car than me, why she has a better house than me, then we won't have any time to get jealous. We won't open the doors towards jealousy. So Surah Al-Falaq is revealed for us to seek protection from the jealousy of others. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we are not jealous of others. It works both ways. And in order to do that, we need to do these things. Accept Allah's Qadr, be content what Allah has given us. Do not chase after what people have, and mind our own business when it comes to other people's worldly dealings. We do not worry about other people, what cars they have, what houses they have, etc. Because at the end of the day, it's not going to affect our akhirah or their akhirah. You know, that's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Surah Al-Falaq. Finally, we covered Surah An-Nas. And we spent a couple of weeks looking at Surah An-Nas. Surah An-Nas is essentially seeking protection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from shaitan. That is the summary of the surah. Seeking protection in Allah from shaitan. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. Say, I seek protection in the Lord of mankind, the King of mankind, and the God of mankind. Meaning Allah. مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. From the evil of the whisperer, of the evil whisperer who whispers into the hearts of mankind from the jinn and man. This surah is essentially a dua to Allah for protection from shaitan. It's like an extended form of أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. I seek protection in Allah from shaitan the accursed. Surah An-Nas is that in more details. That we ask Allah by three of his names. That he is our Rabb, he is our King, and he is our God. and we go into more description of who is Shaitan, that he is the one who waswas. He whispers. He whispers. We don't know it. An idea comes to our head, we don't know where the idea came from. If it is a bad idea, it came from Shaitan. If it is a bad idea, it came from Shaitan. Waswas. Waswasa. He whispers into our hearts. He tells us to do things. And Shaitan is tricky. He won't tell you to do the things that you know are wrong. But he will tell you to do the wrong things which you think are right. Right? He will trick us into thinking right is wrong and wrong is right. That is how Shaitan works. For example, Shaitan knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam alayhi salam not to eat from the tree. So what did Shaitan tell him? Shaitan didn't tell him eat from the tree. Shaitan told Adam alayhi salam, if you eat from that tree, you will have eternal life and you will be like the angels. You see what he did there? He didn't tell him eat it. He didn't tell him disobey Allah. He gave him a motivation. He gave him an idea that if you eat from that tree, you will have eternal life. This is how Shaitan works on each of us. He won't tell us, do that sin. But he'll tell us, if you do it, then this good will come about. And very often it is lies. And sometimes even if some good comes about through it, more harm comes out of it than good. So we need to be aware of the Shaitan. The way he works is through quiet and almost silent waswas, whisperings, where he will tell us things and we won't even know it. We think we are doing good. We think what we are doing is righteous. We think what we are doing is serving the deen. But very often we are following the devil. For example, the extremists out there who kill innocent people in the name of Islam. They think they're doing a good thing. They think that they are doing jihad. They think that they are serving Allah. But that is from Shaitan. That is his whispering, his trickery. He tricked them into that. So we ask Allah to protect us from Shaitan. We will conclude with this week's episode after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We look today at the recap of the surahs that we have covered over the past 3 months. The tafsirs of Surah Ikhlas, Surah Fatiha, Surah An-Nas, and Surah Falaq. These 4 surahs, all of which had the common theme of talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As that is one of the main themes of the Quran. The Quran was revealed to tell us about Allah and what should be our relationship with Allah and what is the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there was a question from one of the callers as to what is the significance of Ayat al-Kursi. And Ayat al-Kursi actually fits in with the same theme. If you look at Ayat al-Kursi in details, Ayat al-Kursi is also a description of who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why it's such an important surah, such an important verse. It is known as the most important verse of the Quran because the entire description of who is Allah, which we explained in 4 verses in Surah Al-Ikhlas and another 4 verses in Surah Al-Fatiha, is found in even more details in this one verse in Surah Al-Baqarah known as Ayat al-Kursi. So perhaps, inshallah, in our next program, we will do a detailed tafsir of Ayat al-Kursi, as it is a ayah which all of us are familiar with and recite very often. So it should, inshallah, it is important for us to know what this verse is about, what is the message of this verse, so that we can understand it and practice it. But in short, it is once again a description of who is Allah. But it is one of the best descriptions in the Quran of who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the most detailed, and that is why it is one of the most, if not the most important verse of the Quran. So with that, alhamdulillah, we have come to the end of another program. We have a few minutes left, and we have, alhamdulillah, over the past few months looked at some of the major surahs which we recite very often. And I hope that this has helped us all to not only understand the Quran better and to practice it better, but even for our salah, to make our salah more real, to make our salah not a ritual but a connection between us and our Creator. At the end of the day, We all will pass away and stand before Malik Yawmiddin, before the Master of the Day of Judgment. And on that moment, when we are standing before Allah, one of the first things we will be asked about is our salah. And we will be asked about our knowledge, because Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has told us about the Quran, that it can be a proof for you or against you. The Quran will be a proof for you or against you. Meaning that if we follow the Quran, then it will be a proof for us on the Day of Judgment. It will stand and defend us on the Day of Judgment that this is a person who followed me. But if we know the Quran and we know the tafsir of the Quran, but we still choose to ignore its guidance in our lives and to live a life contrary to the teachings of the Quran, contrary to the teachings and guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we will have to answer for that on the Day of Judgment, and the Quran will be a proof against us. So we need to think about this. We know what Surah Fatiha means. We understand the tafsir of Surah Fatiha. We have memorized it and we recite it at least 17 times every day. Does it affect our lives or not? If it doesn't, then it will be a proof against us on the Day of Judgment. If it does, then alhamdulillah, it will be a proof for us on the Day of Judgment. The choice is ours. Life at the end of the day is all about choices. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us opportunities. And in every opportunity we have a choice to do the right thing or to do the wrong thing. As the poet says, heaven and hell are only the choices we make. So return to Allah before it's too late. So this is my message for this week about who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the relationship we should have with Him, about the importance of understanding, and not just understanding, but more importantly, following the Quran and making it part of our lives. A few small tips of advice to make this a part of our lives is, number one, every day read some of the Quran with understanding. If you don't know Arabic, read it with translation, or go and attend a tafsir class. But every day, make sure that you have understood some of the verses of the Quran. Recently, I launched an app for iPhones where I have a verse of the day. It's altogether 30 verses. So that's 1 month's worth of tafsir available on iPhones, inshallah. Those of you who are interested can find it on the Apple iStore. And I've also released it in the ebook format that's available on the internet. So you can start there. 30 verses and the tafsir of each of them. But make sure every day we are understanding something of the Quran. Something extra. Number two, every day when it is time for Salah, take our time to pray Salah in a real way. Not as a ritual. Not in a sharpshoot style. Not in a quick, just get over with attitude. But to really pray Salah. To pray it as if you are standing before Allah. To pray it with understanding. To make the sajdas and the ruku's and the qiyam something real. Do this and you will feel your entire life changing. You will feel the change in your life, definitely. And you can read more about how to make the salah more real and believable in my article, Beautiful Salah, which is again available online on my website, muslimmatters.org. And beyond that, inshallah, if we follow this advice and stay tuned and learn more tafsir every week, then inshallah the Quran will become a daily part of our lives. I will not be on air next week, as I'll be away at a youth camp for the next week. Make dua for the success of the camp. And inshallah, I will see y'all in 2 weeks' time to start the tafsir of Ayat al-Kursi. And we will cover the tafsir of Ayat al-Kursi for as many weeks as is needed or as it will take. And after that, inshallah, we will move on to another surah. So with that, we conclude with this episode. Jazakallah khairan. Make dua for me. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.